This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan, Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
What are you doing Friday? Wanna help my world collide? Let's make a bow with old cut ties. Do you want his number? Or shall I be the one to call? I haven't seen him much at all. It could be weird, but I think I'm into it. You know I'm one for the overly passionate. I like you and I loved him. We could all be the best kind of friends.
You said you're into closure. Shake hands like you're supposed to. I'll be in the middle where you two get along. You've got so much in common. Talk about your taste in women.
For the overly passionate. I like you and I loved him. We could all be the best kind of friends.
You said you're into closure. Shake hands like you're supposed to. I'll be in the middle where you two get along. You've got so much in common. Talk about your taste in women. I'll be in the middle where you two get along. In the middle.
Welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. That was Dodie with In the Middle There, which is a little song about bisexuality. Now, I chose that song for a reason. Yesterday, it was Bi Visibility Day. So here on FUBAR Radio this week, we are celebrating bi visibility. And who better do I have with me to celebrate being bi? It's the amazing Abigailia Shimon.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. I really, really struggled with your name then, which is funny because I know that was the name of one of your shows in the past.
Yeah, I did a show called Abigailia Shimon. It's pronounced Abigailia Shimon. And what was a joy about that was then having it reviewed, and reviewers would spell it wrong all over in one. Person did a whole write-up about the show and spelled my name three different ways within the thing.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, one day I will do a follow-up show called Abigailia Shimon. It's spelled Abigailia Shimon.
I love that. So you are a comedian.
I am a comedian.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, and I'm bisexual as well. I just want to throw that out there because you were like, and who better to have? And then immediately it was like, a comedian. It's like, is not going.
Probably should have given that a bit of context.
But yes, I'm a comedian. I do stand-up. I tell jokes on stories on stage and people laugh. And yeah, I'm going on tour starting on Friday. It's very exciting for me.
That is very exciting. Yeah. That's really, really exciting. Yeah. Where are you taking it? All over the place?
All over the place to all the places that I have said I would go. Hold on, they'll come to me. So I start in Leeds. So the first three are Leeds, Glasgow, no, sorry, Leeds, then Edinburgh, then Glasgow, and then there's more in between, and then it ends on London on November 1st. So, yeah, I just don't know the order of the rest of them. But, yeah, I'm going to Maidenhead. I've never been to Maidenhead.
That's very... I don't think I've been to Maidenhead either.
I got interviewed for a paper by someone, and they told me George Clooney owns a house near Maidenhead. So I'm going to invite him, and we'll become best friends.
I'm sure that'll work out. I'm sure nothing will go wrong with that plan.
Well, I figure Maidenhead is the best place for me to invite my celebrity fans, so they don't get... Like, you know, in London, people will bug them a lot. But, you know, if they come to Maidenhead, people will be more focused on me, I think, than George Clooney.
Sure. And why not? And why not, you know? So let's talk a little bit more about your show.
Yeah.
So what can we expect other than your lovely self?
You can expect in 90 minutes of hardcore laughter. Thank you very much. And guaranteed, or your money is mine no matter what. it is a show. The show is called Do You Know Who I Think I Am? And it plays a little bit with identity and people's assumptions, specifically of me and how I deal with those. Also, people's assumptions about... America as I am an American. And then at the end of the show, I solve the American gun epidemic in 10 easy minutes.
Wow.
So I'm very proud of that.
I already want to buy a ticket and come to the show just for that part
thank
alone.
You. Please do.
I love the whole thing about identity. And I read a lovely piece of yours. I think it was in Gay Star News.
Yes.
And it was about you talking about your own bisexuality and some of the assumptions that people make around that. And I do want to go into that a bit further. But is that something you touch upon in the show at all?
I kind of address it, but not in a huge chunk. Like, so right now, I have a boyfriend. Oh my God, we're applying for a partnership visa. He'll be around for a while, but so I have a boyfriend now. But usually, because of the way I look, people assume I'm gay.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I tell them actually I'm bisexual, the thing is people always want to know how bisexual you are.
Yes.
And that's the thing that I talk about a little bit on the show. I don't really dwell on it too much, although I could expound upon it probably a lot more than I do. It's just, it's funny. It feels like it's usually straight people who ask. It's queer people from one dimension to the other usually don't care. But straight people, I find, are just obsessed with who's putting what where.
They really, really are.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yeah. And so, it's a little poking fun at that. And the test one has to.
Yes.
You know, how bi are you? You know.
I know a lot of bi people who, when they get into a relationship with one partner or the other, people stop almost saying that they're bisexual. So if it's a female and they get into a relationship with another woman, they're like, oh, so you're a lesbian then, you're not actually bisexual.
Yeah.
And it seems to be entirely dependent on the relationship that person is currently in, which I find very bizarre and frustrating.
I'll be honest, I did that for a little while. And just because quite frankly, I don't think anyone is doing anything but trying to make their own life easier.
Yeah, sure.
You know, to just be like, oh, I've been with this woman for 10 years, so I am a gay person. But I listened, a friend of mine who is bisexual, she said something very astute, and she's married to a woman, and she mentioned that, like, for some reason, people think that once you settle down with either gender as a bisexual person, that means you picked a team. And I don't think attraction to people doesn't go away whether you're with someone or not. Like, I love my boyfriend, but I love looking at other people who aren't my boyfriend.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's one of my favorite things to do. He doesn't listen to anything I do live, so we're fine to say
he's not
that.
Listening.
No,
okay,
he's
good.
Not listening.
No, but I do. I absolutely agree with you, and I think it forms such a huge part of our identity, because it's not just about who we're dating. You know, even if it's just, you know, talking to your friends, or, you know, you watch a movie, and I think all of that, like, attraction to each sex and everybody, I think it really does affect you as a person, and I think it is a massive part of a person's identity. So I don't understand why people want people to shed that just because they are in a relationship.
I just think people like boxes.
Yes.
People like, Because, I mean, you're in show business. I'm in show business. What's the Callum pitch? What's the 5-minute elevator pitch about you? You know?
Yeah.
We do it to ourselves all the time in one way or the other. And I think people are just like, how do I make it a more simple, pretty square? Mm. But it's not fun to be a pretty square.
It's not. And I think people also don't want you to deviate outside of it. Like I've always said, I am a gay man. And I love the identity of being a gay man.
Yeah.
But if I was to, you know, walk down the street tomorrow and see a beautiful woman and go, oh my gosh, I find her really, really attractive, I think in a way that I would still like to keep my identity as a gay man. You know,
yeah.
just because one person has come along that I'm attracted to, I don't think that would automatically make me bisexual.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I feel like people love to box us in and then
yeah.
say you have to stick to that definition and you are not free to, you know, deviate outside of that in any way.
And we're asked to pick that definition so young.
Yes.
Too. Like, 'cause sexuality is a fluid thing. You know, people can swing from one branch to the other at any point in their life. And the fact that it's like, you've hit puberty, now pick what you want to be.
Come on.
And you're like, wait, I wasn't ready yet. I'm still just excited when I see any amount of skin. What does that mean?
Yes.
What does that mean?
How do you feel about like bisexuality and pansexuality? Because I know a lot of different bisexual people have different kind of opinions about this. I have my own opinion, but
okay.
I'm going to hold that back for a second.
Okay. Here's where you... Do you are you honest about how old you are?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm 29.
Okay. So you're not okay. I'm 33. So we're just at the cusp right there. So maybe you can explain it to me because to me, I'm not precious about between the words bisexuality and pansexuality.
Yeah.
I feel like pansexuality is just the cooler term for the younger generation.
Yeah.
And I could be totally wrong, but in all of my like reading and talking to people I know who identify as pansexual, I can't quite figure out how they're different. So I'm not completely precious on the names, nor do I have the knowledge to really debate them. So what do you think, who clearly has an opinion?
I do have an opinion. I do think they're both very useful terms.
Mm-hmm.
And I have bisexual friends who, by the technical definitions, would actually be pansexual, but
right.
they prefer to use the bisexual definition because they've always used that and they feel more comfortable with that. And maybe they feel it suits them
yeah.
a little bit more, you know, because pansexuality is just kind of being attracted to all genders, which I kind of find that most bisexual people are
yeah.
when it comes down to it, whereas bisexuality is an attraction to two genders, which I find really interesting because people are now equating bisexuality to mean, oh, if I'm a man and I'm attracted to men and non-binary people, that makes me bisexual, which I actually disagree with
yeah.
because I think we're almost changing the definition of words. And I think this is where it gets really muddy and complicated.
As you're explaining this to me, and thank you for that. That was very helpful. You know how we talked about picking teams early?
Yeah.
I don't think... I mean, it's not that non-binary people didn't exist when I was 18.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a thing that was really talked about in my circles where I grew up in Ohio. Or even when I moved to New York City... I moved to New York at 18. I didn't know what non-binary
yeah.
was in 2004. So that option wasn't even a part of my decision making
mm-hmm.
at the time.
So, yeah. I think it's interesting. I mean, like so much of what I do now is around LGBT plus advocacy. But if I jump back 10 years, I wouldn't have known what non-binary was.
Yeah.
I barely even knew anything about, you know, being trans. I barely knew anything about being gay, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like there is so much to learn. And I do think it's really important that we're constantly, you know, I guess updating our terms, updating the language we use. But I think also like there is something quite special and important about, you know, preserving identities as well. Because at the end of the day, these labels are just things that we can use to aid
yeah.
us, and we shouldn't be letting them box us in,
yeah.
I guess.
I think, I'll let you in, because I like you, Callum. I'll tell you
okay.
something
Thanks.
I never tell people in an interview.
Okay.
My real name is not Abigailiah.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
wow.
It's Abigail. And Abigailiah is a nickname I got when I was a kid. And it's a nickname, and then I kept it as my real name.
Yeah.
I've never legally changed my name. My name's on all legal documents. I'm Abigail. In life, I'm Abigailiah. Now, I bring that up because I, the reason why I don't tell people is because it just baffles them that I have, I go by a name that my parents didn't give me. And they're like, that's more, that's complicated. That's harder. And they're like, so you just like chose it? And I'm like, well, I no, someone gave it to me, but I kept it. And you go by that like all the time? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, but it's not your real name. And I'm like, no, it's my real name. Yeah. Definitely, it's my real name. And they're like, no, but it's not your real, real name. And I'm like, I don't, like, I changed it when I was 11.
So it kind of is,
I don't know how much more I need to do in order for my name to be Abba Goliath. And my point is some people get so hung up on words or what we call ourselves. Yeah, some people are so like, you're either bisexual or you're not, or you're pansexual or you're not, or you're straight or you're gay. You have to pick one. You have to pick one. And or you can just be like, I'm comfortable just calling myself whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I think the ownership is on each individual person to decide what how they want to identify, and then from there they can find their tribe, you know?
I love that so, so much. You know, I kind of think that if we really think about it, the fact that we all kind of go by the name that our parents give us at birth and stick with it for life, I think that in itself is a little bit strange when you really think about it. It's this name that's been assigned to us and then we stick to it for life, you know. I quite like when people, you know, go, you know what, I'm gonna go by this name and pick their own name. You know, when trans people do it, we don't question it.
Yeah,
when they change their identity and they change their name to go with it. So, you know, I fully respect, and I think it's really cool when people decide to change their name for whatever reason, even if it's just for fun.
Yeah,
I love that.
Thanks.
I wanted to ask a little bit about, I know this was part of your show, one of your shows in the past, about there was a period in your life where you thought that you may be male.
Yeah, so this is in this show. When I was a kid, I really wanted to be a dude. And I just, like I'm a woman, I present as a woman, I identify as a woman, I like being a woman. But I just wanted specifically a penis so badly.
Sure.
Just for exploratory purposes. Yeah. I think I just want to know what one was like to you. Specifically, I wanted to go on a jog. I wanted to go on a run. I wanted to see what that would be like. And when a guy friend of mine was like, your first day as a man, you go on a run, you don't have sex or masturbate. That's when I was like, maybe I'm not a man. But yeah, I was so curious about it. And I specifically, my biggest role model for like my favorite actor when I was a kid was Will Smith.
God, love Will Smith.
I he's so good. He's so funny in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which probably doesn't hold up. I haven't gone back to check. I will remember it as perfection.
I was in love with, I had the biggest crush in him in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh my God. So good.
And
then he made like the best action movies, like Independence Day.
Yeah, 100%.
It's so good.
So good.
It's so good. And now he's a bad genie, but things change, you know. Like, I wanted to be Will Smith, and now I'm like, you know what? I'm glad I
don't need to be blue.
Female Abba Goliath.
What a journey!
Yeah, it really was.
You went on there. So your show is coming up very soon. This Friday.
This Friday, I'm at the Carriage Works in Leeds, and then I go to the Stand in Edinburgh, and then in Glasgow, and then I am at Maidenhead, Aberdeen, Newcastle, Brighton, Guildford, Salford Lowry, and the last show is in London, and that is also the album launch for this show.
Very, very well remembered there. You definitely didn't read that off
a screen. Didn't do that at all.
If people want to get tickets to come and see you, where can they do that?
They can go to abbagoliath.com/tour. Or abbagoliath.com. It's pretty easy to find. It's not a big website.
You've not hidden it.
Yeah. And yeah, so if you go there and you spell my name, Abbigoliah. I almost just out of habit started to give my email address. I don't know if you heard that. I was like,
you can give us that.
I don't want to give you that.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you on the show. We're going to be playing some fun games, all in the theme of bisexuality.
Great.
Coming up very soon. But before we do that, let's have a little bit more music. So this is Graveyard Halsey.
It's crazy when the thing you love the most is the detriment let that sink in. You can think again when the hand you wanna hold is a weapon in you're nothing but skin. Oh, cause I keep digging myself down deeper. I won't stop till I get where you are. I keep running, I keep running, I keep running. They say I may be making a mistake. I would have followed all the way, no matter how far. I know when you go down all your darkest roads, I would have followed all the way to the graveyard. Oh, cause like the butterflies. Oh, cause I keep digging myself down deeper. I won't stop till I get where you are. I keep running when both my feet hurt. I won't stop till I get where you are. Oh, when you go down all your darkest roads, I would have followed all the way to the graveyard.
That was Graveyard by Halsey there. All of our songs this week are by bisexual artists. We kicked off the show with Dodie as well. We're going to play a game now, Abigailiah.
I love games.
You got really excited there.
I was drinking my water. I almost did a spit take, but I don't want to ruin the beautiful equipment.
So this game is called Queers Throughout the Years.
Okay.
Now, in front of me, I have six facts, and they're all about bisexuality, but some of them aren't facts at all. Some of them have been completely fabricated.
Okay.
And together, we are going to have to work out which ones of these are true and which ones of these are false.
Okay.
So I do not have the answers in front of me. The lovely producers will be whispering in my ears. So yeah, should we dive right
in?
Yeah,
I'm a little nervous to get them wrong as a bisexual person on the show. I feel like now, like, you know, in the States during Black History Month,
yes,
we actually study Black history during that month.
Oh,
that month alone.
That.
Now I wish we had a bisexual week.
Well, I could just study.
Wow. People don't know this, but Abigail Adams was bisexual, and so was Betsy Ross. Okay.
Well, I've not actually looked at these yet, but they can get quite obscure. So
okay.
So I wouldn't worry about about that. Okay. The first one is: the word bisexual can be traced back to 1824, very specific. However, back then its definition was slightly different. It meant having both sexes in one being, a hermaphrodite. Though I don't think hermaphrodite is a politically correct term, so I'm going to change that to intersex, so an intersex person.
Okay. I am going to go with false because isn't the word bi, like that specific thing right there, isn't that from the Greek? Just that part?
Yes. Yeah, so it wouldn't make sense for it to mean that, right?
To mean intersex?
Yeah.
I don't think it. I guess bisexual. No, because you have two sexes within your sexuality.
Yeah.
So maybe.
I can see the cogs working away in your head.
I'm just like, in my head, I immediately went, no, it's from the Greek. But maybe that's because I know that they were a lot more fluid in their sexuality in that culture.
That's true.
So I gotta think that there was a word for that then. But maybe they were like so woke back then that they were like,
we don't need terms.
Yeah, we don't need terms.
That's interesting.
So how do you identify? I identify as Greek, baby. No big deal.
But even though they were so like fluid with their sexuality and stuff, I know that there were some things like, I'm probably going to get this completely wrong now, but I think there was a thing where men would be expected to date men for a certain point, and then they would like reach maturity and then start dating women. So it wasn't like, you're gay, I'm straight. It was like a little bit of everything for everyone. Everybody's bi. Everyone has to have a go at both or something.
I've probably made that up.
Up entirely. I always get my facts wrong.
I hope that's true.
I hope it's true.
at your bat mitzvah, instead of like reading the holy text, it's like, you get to have sex with these people. And then when you're 18, there'll be another coming of age and you'll get to have sex with people of the opposite sex.
Sounds like a great way to live, if I'm being honest. It sounds brilliant. So are we thinking false for this one?
False. I'm going to go false.
Yeah, I think it's too heavy on the info as well. That feels like we are saying that this one is absolutely false. It was true. So it did mean intersex in 1824, and then in 1914 it came to its current meaning. There must have been another word for bisexuality before that. There must have been, surely. I would like to think so.
Well, as my Southern American kinfolk would say, yeah, there's another word for it. It's called greedy.
Wow. How do you feel about that?
I think it's a bit silly.
Yes, indeed. All right, our next one. Two bisexuals in a relationship with each other is known as a tandem bisexual. This is not real.
This cannot be real. Someone tweeted that once and it got a bunch of retweets, but no one has brought it on as a term.
That cannot...
I refuse.
I also refuse that. That one has to be flat out false straight away. And the answer is... it is false. And it was, as you said, it was a tweet that was popular on Bi Visibility Day a few years ago. I do like that, though. Tandem bisexual.
I mean, as like a cute little
yeah,
hashtag,
but not as a real thing.
But yeah, I wouldn't be like, tandem bisexual.
Okay, our next one. The pansexual flag was created in 2010 and features two of the colours from the bisexual flag and one different one. Oh, I'm really bad with the flags.
Wait, sorry. Say that again because I was reading something.
I wasn't paying any attention. The pansexual flag was created in 2010 and it features two of the colours from the bisexual flag and then one different one. See, I'm really bad with the flags. The bi one is blue, purple, pink. Is it?
Pink. I thought it was purple and pink.
Just purple and pink and blue? There's a blue. I think there's probably a blue.
There's probably like a little dusting of blue.
I'm so bad with them. If you put them all in front of me and asked me which was which, I would not be able to tell you.
Now, because I am also very bad with them, but in my head... there's brown in one of them. Is there?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I want to say yes, perhaps.
I think it's... are we guessing the... no, it's true or false.
Yeah.
I
would guess it's probably true because that sounds very plausible that it could be similar to the bisexual flag, but they've changed it up slightly to be more inclusive, I guess.
Yeah.
I want to say...
there's no more inclusive color than purple, though.
It's true. Everyone's welcome in purple.
Yeah.
I want to say true.
Yeah, let's go true.
Yeah, we are saying that this is completely true.
Yay!
And it is true. Yes, the bisexual flag is pink, blue, and purple. Nailed it.
Okay.
And the pansexual flag is pink, blue, and yellow. I can see it in my mind.
Oh,
there we
yes.
go.
There we go.
Beautiful.
They're showing them to us on screens. That's why we're going, oh, yes, of course, for all those listening at home.
Who have no idea what's going on. All right, our next one. In ancient Rome, gender did not determine whether a sexual partner was acceptable as long as a man's enjoyment did not affect another man's integrity. Ooh. Ooh. Gosh, that's... an odd way to think about it, isn't it?
Yeah, but their own self-integrity or, like, society's pressures on them.
So it did not affect another man's integrity. So I don't understand how me having sex with a man would then affect that man's integrity over there.
So, okay, so the two men having sex are not the men's integrity we're speaking of?
I think so. I think
no,
it's like,
that can't be right. It's got to be...
Oh, so the person you're having sex with, as long as it doesn't affect their integrity.
Yeah.
Like, that's the doctor. You can't be having sex with the doctor because...
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's the thing, because doctors don't like sex.
They hate it. They absolutely hate it.
I'm going to say that is true, because that's one of those bonker things that they...
Yeah.
Like, someone in the rules-making panel was gay, and they were like, I got to figure out a way around this. And everyone else was just a closed-minded bigot being like, stone them! And they're like, or...
Put down the stones, guys.
Put down the stones.
Got another idea.
Yeah.
I think I'm with you. I think this is true. Bizarre as it is, I think it absolutely is true. And the answer is, it is true.
Yay!
It was socially acceptable for a free-born Roman man to want sex with both female and male partners, as long as he took the penetrative role. Wait, I don't understand.
So a Roman man can have sex with another man so long as that man's not Roman.
Is that the rule? Right, that is bonkers. I love history.
Yeah.
Isn't history fun?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do one more. In a 19th
the Romans were like around during Jesus' time, right? But Jesus wasn't a Roman. He was a Nazarite person.
Yeah.
So a Roman could have sex with Jesus.
Yes, absolutely.
That's legal.
That's absolutely fine.
Okay.
Yeah, it's sanctioned in the Bible.
It's sanctioned in the Bible. I just wanted to put that out there, that that's the rule. Some people go by another rule, but no, that is the rule.
That is the rule. Wait, was Romans and Jesus at the same time?
They were in the cartoons I watched about Jesus as a child. So, yeah, they're the ones who crucified him.
Oh, yeah. Because they wore the hats.
Yeah. Yeah, they got the hats with the brush on them to clean up after having sex with the 12 apostles. Doubting Thomas was sure about one thing.
I feel like we have a really good handle of history in this room between us. God help the future generations. Okay, in a 1976 interview with Playboy, David Bowie said that being bisexual was the worst thing to ever happen to him. No way is that true. No way is that true.
What year was this?
1976. I understand that Bowie was a very proud and open bisexual.
Yeah.
Even in 1976.
I just wonder if this is one of those tricksy ones where it's like, true, but then he said blah, 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 blah. Do they ever do that at this game? I don't think... Well, let's go false, because I don't think he'd mean it. Put it that way.
Yeah, but I'm kind of with you, and I think you might be right. I think he might have been like, oh, yeah, being bisexual is the worst thing to happen to me. I have all this sex all the time. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they might be trying to pull the wool over our eyes.
Yeah.
But what we are sure of, whether it's true or false, is that he did not mean it.
Yeah.
And that's our
answer.
Because
him and Mick Jagger had a steamy, steamy little friendship.
Did they?
That's a huge rumor.
Is that a thing?
Oh, it's not confirmed, but it's a big rumor. Have you ever seen the music video that they did of Dancing in the Street? They did a duet of Dancing in the Street, and they are singing to each other so hard that you're just like... They totally did, mate.
That's
a rumor.
I love that.
That's a rumor.
I really hope that's true.
I hope it is, too.
That's
Mick,
just confirmed.
If you're listening, call in.
Please call in.
Call in.
So, yeah, we're saying, I don't think it matters if we're saying true or false.
Yeah.
Because we're confident that we have the right answer. And it is false.
Oh.
He actually said it was the best thing.
Yes. There we go.
But in an interview 7 years later, he said it was the biggest mistake he ever made.
Oh, he's a very brilliant man. He's a very interesting man. But we have to remember, at one point, he made everyone call him the Duke and lived off milk and peppers. So we can't trust everything he says all the time.
Apparently, it was because when he said that he loved being bisexual, it really negatively affected his sales at the time.
That's...
So that's why he then later regretted it. But that makes me sad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really rough to be like, oh, I can't be an out and proud person because
I won't get enough enough money.
Yeah, because the people in Devon won't buy my records.
Devon, of all places.
I just pulled it out.
Well, I think we learned a lot with this game.
Yeah.
I will retain none of this information.
No.
But it was very fun.
Yeah.
Shall we have a little bit more music?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do a bit of Ooh La La Goldfrapp. Let's talk a little bit more about all the things that you are up to. Because I understand that you are a very busy woman.
I'm so busy. I do all the things.
And you completely cleared your schedule to
be here with me, which was very
generous. And
well, to be honest, it's really nice to be on your show and talking about my tour show. Do you know who I think I am? Out this Friday. All over the country.
Getting that plug.
Just doing my thing. But I have been working on a partnership visa to be with my boyfriend here in the UK.
Yeah.
And I have been doing nothing but collating my entire life into one PDF
to send
to the Home Office.
Because you have to prove that your relationship is legitimate.
Is that
how that works?
Yeah. So here, the way you do that, if no one's ever gone to a partnership visa, the way it works is you make a scrapbook of your entire life together, from your texts to your photos to your bank statements to your rent to your gas and electric. You make this huge, huge scrapbook, and then you pay pay the Home Office thousands of pounds to read it. And if they like your scrapbook, they put a sticker in your passport.
And are you graded on like how pretty your scrapbook is? Like, do you need to make it beautiful?
Because I've made a table of contents, which my boyfriend is like, this is over. This is too much. But yeah, so that's what I was doing all day today. And then it got very exciting because this afternoon I got merchandise made to sell at my tour.
Oh, that's exciting.
And yeah. So in the tour, I talk a lot about how to be confident and how I have learned to be confident. And one time when I was a little girl, my mom had one of those days where she didn't like her face. Okay. When you look in the mirror and you start pulling your face back, like you're like, this will be a better idea.
Just for context, she's doing that right now. She's
it's just pull your face back. You know how people do. And I told my mother, I was like, Mom, I think I was like 11 or 12 at the time. I was like, Mother, I do this every day and you should do it too. You look in the mirror and you go, look at this face, flawless. And it's been a running joke.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, this is a real thing that happened. It's been a running joke between me and my mom for since the last 15 years. And so now I actually had little pocket mirrors, like hand mirrors made.
I love it.
That say, look at this face, flawless.
That is incredible.
Yeah, I put them on my Instagram story. It's not bragging. I'm on Instagram. And
go on, plug the handle.
Yeah,
plug the handle.
At Abigail, if you can spell it, you can find it. And immediately my mom wrote me and she's like, Can I have one? And I was like, oh, I've already got yours in the mail. Like,
obviously, you're going to get one.
I'm going to be like, sorry, it's £5. You can order it off my website. You have to pay international shipping. Yeah.
What a lovely story. I'm amazed that because you said you were what, 8 years old? 9 years old?
Sorry, when I did the look at this face flawless, I was 11, I think. In my head, I was 11. Anything happened to me, I was 11 years old. Because that seems like the middle ground.
Yeah.
But I think I was like preteen. Maybe I was a little younger. I was quite
a creative child.
Yeah.
The fact that you, like, where would a child even pull such a thing from?
I know exactly where it came from. And no one else has figured this out yet. I used to love watching Will and Grace on NBC. And Jack would go flawless all the time.
Right.
And so that's where I got it from. But like, I've done this show now quite a bit. Like, it started in Edinburgh. I've done it a few times through this year, and now I'm taking it out on its official tour. And I've just claimed it. And no one has come up to me afterwards being like, I know you took that from Will and Grace's Just Jack. Yeah. And but yeah, I think that's how I got the idea for it.
I feel like maybe you shouldn't have confessed that on radio.
Yeah.
There's going to be like copyright people coming for you now.
No, but really, he never said, look at this face,
right,
flawless.
Okay.
He'd just go flawless.
And flawless
in just
alone
Jack.
Is a word.
Yeah.
You can't just copyright an entire word.
Yeah, no, it wasn't his catchphrase. His catchphrase was Just Jack.
Just Jack. So, and these little mirrors are going to be available at your tours.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it because I've never sold merch before because I've never had a reason.
Oh. So,
but I really like them. Like, I think they're so cute that I'm like, oh, I could give one to my mom and I could give one to my mother-in-law and I think my friend Beck would. And then I'm like, no, you didn't buy these to give these away. I'm like, what if there's just a really nice person in the front row? Maybe I'll just give them a mirror.
Very good business person.
No,
there. That feels like an insult.
I feel like I've got business like ideas, but then when I have a chance to execute them,
you just get too excited.
Or you could just, isn't presents fun?
I absolutely love that. We are going to be reacting to our lovely listeners' sex confessions very, very shortly. How do you feel about that?
I'm into this.
I'm very into it too. If you are listening and you would like to send in your confessions or just any questions about sex and relationships, then you can do that by emailing callum@fubarradio.com, and we will be back very shortly to react to those. Let's have a bit more music. This is Harry Styles, Ever Since New York.
Something Just pretend you do. Tell me something just before you go. Oh, tell me something I don't already know. Oh, tell me something I don't already know. Oh, tell me something I don't already know.
Abigailiah.
Yes.
I understand that as well as being a comedy mastermind.
Yes.
That you are also a yoga teacher.
I am. Yeah.
Those things don't go together at all.
No, that's why I only do them one at a time.
Yeah.
I was certified in 2008 as a Bikram yoga instructor, which is a hot yoga. And I taught yoga all while I lived in New York. That was like my day job, as I was struggling to become a stand-up comic. And it was the worst. Teaching is great. And I call myself semi-retired now because every once in a while I teach, but I can't really commit to a full-time class anymore. But when I started, the way it works with any job, when you become a new teacher, you get the shit hours.
Yeah, of course.
So I would teach at 6 a.m. in the morning and 8 p.m. at night, because those are the ones no one wants to teach.
Yeah.
Then go to an open mic at 11.
Oh, wow.
At night.
Wow.
And stay up till like 2, sleep for a couple hours, wake back up, go 6, sleep during the middle of the day. My friend was like, you're like a jungle cat. You do is sleep, eat, and stretch. And I was like, yeah, that's all I do. I'm very tired. Yeah.
I love that. I have a question about hot yoga, the Bikram yoga.
Yeah.
Is it actually supposed to be hot?
Yeah.
Because I used to go to, people were like, oh yeah, it's kind of like doing yoga in a sauna. And I went to one and it was like mildly warm at best. And I feel like I was going to a really bad place. Like it was like 3 degrees hotter than normal.
No. Well, some people do like warm vinyasa flow the thing is it's not officially mandated how hot it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
In Bikram yoga, especially because Bikram, although he's quite a character, but that's a story for a different time. He's very much like, I kill you for 90 minutes so you can live for 90 years. That's what he always used to say.
Wow,
he was like
okay.
Very hardcore, like turn up the heat as much as possible. And so most Bikram teachers keep it like really hot. If you go to like hot yoga flow or hot hatha, I can't guarantee what you're going to get. I go to a studio now that offers regular yoga and hot yoga, and their hot yoga classes are not hot enough for me. Always like one morning it was hot and everyone was dying and I was like, I finally feel alive.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Well, that was very interesting, but we are not here to talk about yoga. I don't even know why I brought that up, Callum.
That's fine.
Let's do some sex confessions. So thank you so much to everyone who has sent these in. Abigailiah, would you like to read the first one?
Yes. So sex confession number one. My first time having sex was with a sex worker who I paid. Sometimes I feel ashamed of that, but it was actually a really, really great way to get introduced to sex by someone who really knew what they were doing.
I love that. Yeah, that's the end of that one. Why would you feel ashamed of? I feel like it's anything that you try for the first time. Like if I was to go, I don't know, snowboarding for the first time, I wouldn't mind like paying an instructor to do that with me.
That's
actually
a really good point. Yeah. Everyone hires a snowboard instructor.
Yeah, nobody just goes, you know what, I'm just going to go snowboarding and just try on my own. So like what's wrong with paying for a sex worker for the first time?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But there's a lot of stigma around it. So yeah,
I wonder if this person, I wonder how many of their friends know that they did this and how many of their friends make fun of them for it.
I bet a lot, and I bet people are ridiculously judgmental about it.
Yeah, because I bet,
I don't like that.
I bet the shame is brought on by other people's reaction because, as this person is saying, they're like, you know, it was a really great experience because I was with someone who knew what they were doing. I bet they walked away being like, I've figured out how to do this the right way.
Yeah.
Let me go tell everyone.
And then they are the people that have brought on the shame.
Yeah.
I feel like this is it's the same with anything like that, where people feel shame. It's always from, you know, it's from the external. It's from how people react to it.
Yeah, yeah.
It rarely ever comes from within.
Yeah.
So I say good for this person.
Yeah.
Well done you.
Yeah.
Live your best life. You've had a valuable experience there and you've learned something.
Yeah.
So.
Which is more than I can say about my first sexual experience. I walked away confused.
Yep.
And just worried. It was not nice.
I remember feeling all of those things. I remember texting a friend afterwards and I was like, it didn't taste like I thought it was going to. That was my confusion.
I lost my virginity on prom night in a cornfield in Ohio.
Wow.
And that is the most American thing I've ever done.
That is the best thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
What a way to lose
yeah.
it. In a cornfield.
Yeah, in a cornfield. We had a blanket.
Good for you.
Yeah,
good
thank
for you.
You.
Okay, our next one. It was my sixth form ball and my teacher's last day. I went back to hers.
Whoa. Oh!
Is that allowed? Like, you've officially finished sixth form?
How old are you?
Sixth form, if you were finishing, you would be 18.
It's not illegal, but I think it's questionable.
But in sixth form, like, one of my teachers was only like 23.
Yeah.
So there would have been a very small age gap. And if I had left school, you know, is it all right?
It's just so.
You're like, I'm uncomfortable.
I'm uncomfortable. It's clearly fine. Yeah. And yeah, you bring up a good point. Like, the teachers probably weren't like much older. And even like, if you're 18, you're 18. But. It just seems like, in my head, I'm like, have they been flirting all year?
Probably.
Like, that's
and that
it.
Does make me uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's like, has there been a little, like, side-eye glance, like, all through fall semester, and then come spring, it was like, you're a man now.
Let's go.
Yeah.
What I will say is that, obviously, like, I can't tell the person's intonation or anything, but there's three exclamation marks
yeah.
here. I feel like this person is very happy and proud about that.
Yeah.
So... And they were of age, so I'm going to say, you know what, you're happy, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
I'm going to say everything was above board, this is fine, good for you.
I am happy for you as I squirm uncomfortably in my seat, good
yeah,
person.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you like to read this next one, Abigail?
Yeah. Fucked my ex this week. Sue me. I'll be on Tinder if you need me.
Wow. Straight to the point. I've had sex with lots of exes.
I think this person was deep into the alcohol when they sent this. This is what they admit to you, Callum, before they text someone else going, you up? Like, that's the level we're at.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I feel like as well, like with having sex with exes, you can do it in a really healthy way.
Yeah.
And you can do it in a really unhealthy way.
I'm really good at the unhealthy way.
I'm really good at the unhealthy way.
I was going to say, you tell me about this healthy way.
I've heard about the healthy way.
You know what? My boyfriend is one of those people who becomes friends with his exes. Are you one of these people?
I kind of am.
I am not.
Kind of am, yeah.
I left all of them in New York, and that is where they'll stay.
They're not allowed to leave.
Yeah, Tom's like, you never talk about your exes. I'm like, well, why would you? And then he's like, Jenny's coming over for dinner. And I'm like, I love Jenny.
I love her.
No, but honestly, they're like really, really lovely people. But yeah, I guess if you become friends and you guys get into like a chilled place, like then it would be healthy to do.
I think for me, I have had sex in what I would consider a healthy way with some exes before, and I think it's very much been when I feel like all of the emotional romantic connection has gone.
Yeah,
and it's not like we're pretending it's gone. It's like it literally
yeah.
has gone. We're just friends, and it's like, well, we had fun. It's a Friday night. We've both got nothing better to do, so
yeah.
let's do each other.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be good.
It kind of works.
I don't think this person did it in a healthy way.
No. Yeah, I feel like
Sue me. I'll be on Tinder. Right there. We've all been there, mate.
It is a lot. Well, Abigail, that brings us up right up until the end of the show.
It's been so much fun chatting with
you. It's been amazing having you here. I'm going to make you tell us every single place you're going to be doing your tour
again. Oh, good. Don't worry, because I've committed them all to memory. So on Friday, I'll be in Leeds Carriage Works Theatre. On Sunday, I'll be at the Stand in Edinburgh. Monday, the Stand in Glasgow. Then after that, I'm in Maidenhead, Aberdeen, Newcastle, Brighton, Guildford, Salford, and then London will be the album launch of the show we're talking about. Do you know who I think I am? Can be pre-ordered at abigliah.com/shop.
Amazing. So if you do live in any of those places, you should absolutely go along to one of your shows and get one of these amazing mirrors.
I'm so excited about them.
You have been an incredible guest. I can't thank you enough for coming
on the
show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And I hope our paths will cross again
soon. For sure.
I'm going to play you out with the amazing Tally Spear. This is Scatterbrain. See you later.
Great.
You hold me, I can't escape it. And I won't see the clouds are heavy. It's all because of you, but you live inside of me. And I'll tell you all, you don't seem to listen. Just do what you want, cause you just love tricking me. If I want it, I know I gotta stay the same. I keep changing my mind every single day. I'm a scared of breaking, and I don't know how to change.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.